Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
God's Word is, you know, it is. It's astounding. It's amazing. It brings to us life, and in those moments where things are out of control and we need peace, and we can go to scripture verses and as we think about it and pray about it and, you know, meditate on His Word and His presence. And, you know, He just ministers to our soul. If we need healing or we need some kind of help, and it just, you know, we turn to a psalm or another passage of scripture where Jesus ministered to somebody that we identify with. And, you know, it brings hope. It kind of gets us back to center, and instead of, you know, continuing to play over our human thoughts all the time that kind of mislead us after a while. And so, you know, His Word is amazing that way. And in so many different ways, His Word ministers to us. One of the ways is also when we read a passage of Scripture or a verse that we go, you know, I know it's Your Word, and I know it's holy, and I know it's right, but how in the world am I ever going to be able to allow what You have written that I just read to be possible for me to have an attitude in the way I live my life? Yeah, that is just a hard one, Lord. Have you ever come across a verse like that? Well, we're gonna look at one right now in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. And I'll read verse 27 and 28. It says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you." All right, say this with me. I will bless those who curse me. Okay, now could all of you say it? You know, it's like, I don't want to say that because, you know, I want to mean it, but, ooh, that's just tough. Bless those who curse you. Turn to the person next to you and say, you need to bless those who've cursed you. You guys up there in the tech booth, you know, you better be saying that to one another. I don't want you to think you're not a part of this service. Now, I know Benita's up there, and she told her husband, because he's gonna get it straight. But the rest of you guys, you know. Bless those who curse you. That's just, you know, that is so contrary to, I think, my nature, our nature. You know, bless those who curse you. Are you kidding me? You know, I want something bad to happen to them, because they deserve it. You know, we don't really say those things. And as a Christian, you know, we don't really want to acknowledge that's kind of how we feel, you know. But underneath it all, something close to that lurks under here. And I want us to look at this morning the blessing that can be there while we are being cursed by someone, or insults, or like they have it, you know, they have it out for you or in for you or whatever the phrase is. You know, they kind of have it in for you. Out for you? I don't know. Whatever one's correct, you apply that to you, what I just said. They do. It's like that person or that group of people, and, you know, we just, like, why are they kind of cursing me and insulting me and, you know, mistreating me, or they're just always disagreeing with anything I say or think or, you know, express. And they always take the opposite. It's like they just don't want me to succeed, or they just really got it in for me, out for me. And, you know, we struggle with that. And, you know, it's like they curse us and we're supposed to bless them? I mean, you know, Jesus, I want to follow you and I believe in you and I trust your word, but I just can't get me to do that. I mean, I might be able to go through the motion once or twice, but underneath, It's not sincere. It's, ugh. How do we do that? I mean, Lord, don't you know what they've done or what they've said? I mean, these are just the things I've observed. How much more evil can you see in their heart that lurks for me? You know, that kind of thing. And bless those who curse you. We're going to look at two individuals, one in the New Testament, one in the Old Testament, that they received insult, maybe cursing, hardship. And we're going to look at this and maybe allow the Holy Spirit to shed some light for us on how we're supposed to live and the attitude we're supposed to have opposed to our natural inclination. And sometimes we feel it's justifiable, even in Christendom, because, Lord, you know what they just did and what they said and et cetera, et cetera. And you know what? That just ain't right. So, you know, go get them, Lord. And if you want to send me, I'm good with it. You know, so if we're to look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to glance here at Paul for a moment before we look at David in the Old Testament. Now, here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, there's a chapter or two before this that Paul is defending his ministry. It's been under attack by some people or groups of people, some who say he's not an apostle and, you know, he could be just included on the, you know, super apostle list, and justifiably so if we were to gauge who he is and how the Lord has used him, etc. And he's going through all of this defending of his ministry and doing it with a measure of humility and yet being very forthright about you know, what the Lord has done in and through his life. But something interesting happens here in chapter 12 as he's writing this letter. And let's jump in here around verse 5. Make it 6. Though I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited, say that word, everybody. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming, come on, conceited. I pleaded with the Lord 3 times about this, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, there are voices that were going on that were criticizing and insulting and creating hardship for the ministry of Paul and what the Lord called him to do and to become as a man and as an apostle. And so there were these things that were going on, and it's interesting Paul's take on this. He says that a thorn was given to me so that I wouldn't become conceited. Because, and I appreciate his honesty here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that we can benefit from this. You know, there's truth, like he says and refers to, that, you know, there were great revelations given to him. The Lord used him greatly to teach, to defend the faith, to bring healing to people, to plant churches. All of these ministries that were going on that God brought through the Apostle Paul. And you know how humanity works. You know, we is one. And, you know, God can do some great things in our life. And it's easy for us to gradually slip into a little bit of an attitude and a mentality that, you know, the Lord has done some great things. I've really grown a lot. The Lord has been evident in my life. He's been evident in some of the ministry. And, you know, I'm feeling pretty good about this. And, you know, I'm not too bad. And Paul says, there was this thorn given to me to keep me from being conceited. And recognizing that, yes, these things have been done in and through his life, but it is Jesus and the power of God's Spirit who is doing this through his life. And he says, this thorn, this thing that harassed me, this thing that I wanted to leave me, this discomfort, this almost a curse, actually, it brought blessing to me because it kept my spiritual integrity and character intact, because it caused me to remain humble and remember that I am a man who's been redeemed, who's being used, who is loved, who's being transformed, but a man, and not become conceited, thinking more of myself than I should. So here is this thing that we would really look at as, like, you know, it's a messenger of Satan to harass me, insult me, create problem for me. It's like a curse. And we just want to rebuke the devil. And here, God is behind this, saying, you know what? I care more about you, Paul, as a person, and that you stay in right relationship with me, and your attitude remains pure. That is more important to me than what you will do, and I don't want you to lose your way while doing the business that I've called you to. And therefore, this buffeting, this agitation, this curse is a blessing for you, Paul, because you can remain a person of integrity and not lose your way to arrogance, pride, or conceit, and step into the trap that the enemy has set for you and that your own flesh would love to move into. So when you and I look at a curse or an insult or hardships that come into our life, We just it's all bad. It must be the devil at work. And, you know, and we just start to go down this track in our thinking. And we miss the opportunity to see that there is a blessing that comes with this that might be buffeting us, that we remain humble, we remember our dependence on the Lord, and that we are man and we have weakness. We are not self-sufficient, and we find our sufficiency and provision in the Lord alone. I mean, who wants to lose their way? Even at when we think it's holy because it's what where the Lord brought us from, what he's doing in our life, how he uses us, how we've progressed by his direction. And all of a sudden lose our way in the middle of that because of conceit. What a blessing this buffeting was for Paul. What about you and I? Will we see blessing in the middle and in the process of what we consider to be bad or a curse or an insult or an abuse or a mistreatment from someone? Is it possible that God uses those things so that we can be exposed to ourself and understand who we really are and remember that this is about him, and out of his love for us, there might be this conflict, this buffeting, so that it keeps us intact in our walk and our growing faith in the Lord? Is it possible that we sometimes look at these hardships, the voices of others, the things that come our way that we feel aren't justified, that possibly is the Lord behind some of this and allowing this so that I'm kept? You see, we look at things like, if it's encouraging and it's easy, and it's wonderful, it's from the Lord. If I'm uncomfortable and it's difficult and it seems to be bad for my perception, then it's the devil. I want you to know that that is a Western theology. That we live in the Western world. This is our theology. This is what has kind of evolved through time. If you were to go back in a lot of Eastern places and cultures, they would say things like, how is it that I can receive blessing from the Lord only and not cursing? And you and I go, what? What they're saying is, in these things that we face, do we accept and are we willing to see God's hand could be at work doing something greater than my comfort for my long-term security and development? You see, that's a little more of an Eastern thinking, and I want to remind you that Christianity was not birthed in America. This is an Eastern religion. And when I say religion, don't be bothered like, well, it's just one of the many. We know the truth of Christ, but we worship an Eastern Savior. He was not born in Chicago. Okay? He's not from L.A. He's not from Orlando. You know, he's not from Sparta. He was born in Bethlehem. And so we got to remember what his word is saying to us doesn't just translate to Western thinking. Our thinking has to be transformed into who he is and what he was saying and what he is saying to the original listener, and we need to walk away with that truth where we live now. Bless those who curse you. Can you and I see blessing in the curse that might be coming our way, or the buffeting of a circumstance, a situation, a person? I want us to look at the Old Testament. I want us to look at David here for a moment in 2 Samuel chapter 16. And I want to read this to you. This is just another way for us to consider how you and I interpret and deal with people who seem to mistreat us, curse us. Maybe they misunderstand us. Maybe they just got it in or out for us. And we just look at this and we think, you know, come on. I want you to look. You know, David is considered a man after God's own heart. Now, we're going to see here that his heart is exposed. His inner attitude is exposed here for us to look at. And for those who are with him, for them to, that they got a glimpse of this at a greater degree than maybe they even knew David before this. And maybe it's something for us to consider when we deal with what we consider to be bad or insult or curse in our life. 2 Samuel chapter 16, it says, when the king David came to Baharim, there came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. And as he came, he cursed continually David. And he threw stones at David and at all the servants of the king of David and all the people of the mighty men that were on David's right hand and on his left. Now, I want to pause here. David is king. Saul is wanting the throne back. And David's son, Absalom, is trying to steal the throne. And here's David caught in the middle of all this, who got anointed to be king. So he's in the middle of all this, and he's moving along with some of his closest friends and with much of his army who is surrounding him. He's with him, following him, right there with him as we look and we jump into this account here in 2 Samuel. And it says here that this man, he started to curse David and all the fellows that were with him. And he said things like this, get out, you man of blood, you worthless man. The Lord has avenged on you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned, and the Lord has given the kingdom into the hand of your son Absalom. See, your evil is on you, for you are a man of blood. These are strong words. I mean, it's almost like you want to say to this guy, dude, wake up. You want to die right now? I mean, you're talking like this to the current king, and he's got his military with him. What are you thinking? You know, this guy's got guts or no brains or whatever it is in our human estimation. And he's in, obviously, he has a misunderstanding, the one who's bringing this curse and cursing David, because, you know, he's saying, you took it from Saul, and now because you're guilty of so many things, that your son is going to take your throne. And see, you're evil, you're getting back what you deserve. Now, as we know the whole story, because we can read it, obviously, somewhere along the line, this particular individual is misinformed, or he has a bias, or he has it in for David or out for David or whatever, and he's letting these curses fly and throwing stones at David and his men. Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over and cut off his head." Who needs video games, man? Just read the Old Testament. You know, as you read the story, it's like, okay, finally somebody spoke up, because if I was there, I'd have felt the same way. David, give the order. Give me the word. Give me the nod. I'm going to go over and take and cut this guy's head off. I mean, he is cursing you, and I'm loyal to you. The military men, those closest to him, were feeling this. Here they all are. Just, David, don't take this. Who is this guy? And obviously, by what he said, he doesn't really know what's going on. Let me take this guy out. I want us to look at David's response and see if there's a new consideration that you and I might need to have when things like this come our way. The king said, "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? If he is cursing because the Lord said to him, curse David." You hearing this? David's response is, wait a minute. Now, I'm not sure, but what if God told this guy to curse me? Am I supposed to step in and cut off, have his head cut off, when maybe God sent this curse, this man, to curse me? Maybe he sent it my way. Now if I cut his head off, I'm fighting against God, and I've taken things into my own hands. David further says, "Who then shall I say, why have you done so?" And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, "Behold, my own son seeks my life. How much more now may this Benjamite? Leave him alone and let him curse, for the Lord has told him to. It may be that the Lord will look on the wrong done to me, and that the Lord will repay me good for this cursing today." And so David and his men went on down the road. You know how this works, because you've probably had somebody close to you get insulted, misrepresented by someone else. They were doing harm to your friend or family member, and you know how this works. You want to jump in and say, "You got it all wrong. You shut your mouth, and who are you to, you know, blah, blah, blah," and you're ready to, you know, cut their head off. I mean, if the story went like this, and this man came out and cursed David and threw stones at him and said these things, and Abishai said, "Who is this guy to be embarrassing you in front of an audience, my lord, David? Who is this guy to be doing this?" And he's not even right about what he's saying. Can I just go cut his head off? And David, within his right, could have said, yeah, I'm kind of tired of listening to him, and I don't want people to start to think that they can get away with this, and we need to make an example of him. And after all, he's actually wrong about what he's saying. So you know what? Yeah, just go cut his head off. And those of us in this room would kind of go, yeah, way to go. Slay that guy. Who is he to speak against King David? I mean, he's just a man. We see his humanity. We know some of his sin. But still, you know, this heart of worship and how he repents and how he, and the Lord said, you know, David, he has a heart after you. And, you know, yeah, why should David go, just, yeah, go cut the guy's head off. Yeah. That's not how the story goes. I wonder how much cheering has gone inside your spirit when we read the actual scripture and it says David gives him a pass. Because David has this consideration that what if the Lord told this man to come and shout these curses at me? How many of you who've been insulted, cursed, come against, have ever sat back and went, you know, maybe the Lord sent them to curse me? I mean, you ever thought that? Show your hands. Zero, one, two. Okay, one liar and one guy that went, yeah, kind of. The altar's open for you guys to come. You know, it's one thing if we've done something wrong and somebody was sent to rebuke us, then we go, oh, hey, the Lord, you know, the Lord sent them. But when the cursing comes that we feel like it's not really deserved. You see, we can jump back to Paul for a moment. When he talks about the hardship and the insults and the cursing and the persecution, understand that those cursings that came his way were for the right reason from the perspective of a believer. He was being cursed and insulted for the person he was becoming, this redeemed person, and how he was carrying out the business of God. It is one thing to be cursed for the sake of Christ, becoming like him in nature, sticking, you know, to what God calls us to do, and people may not like it and care for it, and they criticize and insult and try to damage us or damage the work that God has called us to. And, you know, we get it. But I want us to be real clear on something, because sometimes we get cursed, insulted, attacked, misrepresented, mistreated, whatever. The list goes on. Or we consider it to be bad and kind of a curse. And yet, it was kind of because of the way we acted. Kind of the way we treated people. Maybe the way we did business. Maybe we kind of found what we call a loophole. And somehow through our conduct and action and expressions of the way we did something or said something, it brought insult our way. But because we're a Christian, we just quickly move that over and put it all in one pot as if, well, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm just going to get insults and curse and hardship. And, you know, I just need to bless those who curse me. Listen, it doesn't all go into one pot. There are things that we get cursed and insulted about because we are being transformed in the nature of Christ and we are doing what he's called us to do. Don't throw in that pot some unholy thing that we did in our flesh that created problems with other people who now criticize us and we go, well, we'll just throw it in this pot because we're a believer and that's just what's going to happen. No, some of that what we get was because of our own flesh and our own stupidity. Our own selfishness, our own conceit, our own arrogance, wanting to get more. And we just say, well, because I'm a Christian, and we mask it And we never have to deal with it because we throw it into this pot that says, well, you know, I'm a believer, so I'm just going to get insults. No, the correct insults will be because of the nature of Christ being shown in us and his work being done through us. The other, we need to pay attention to that because we need to make things right in us and maybe with some people. Don't just take that and throw it in the other pot as if it's all the same. It is not, my friends. And you and I need to pay attention to that because that is why we are sometimes buffeted so that we can take a look at this personally, who we are as a person before God, and make sure things are right. Because we are more important to him as a person and our walk with him than what we do for him. Back to David. This was an opportunity for the heart of David to be exposed. That he could see himself. And the interesting thing is, those who were with him to observe the king that they were loyal to. It didn't cross their mind that maybe the Lord possibly, maybe, sent this man to curse David. They just wanted to wipe him out. Solved. Let's go on. And David says, don't touch him. What if the Lord sent him to curse me? What a humility in David. He's the king. He's the leader. What an example for the men around him to go, whoa, I never considered that possibly this man was sent to hassle David. And so David's heart was exposed in his response. And we see in David a heart that has been tempered by the Lord. And for those around him to aspire to say, wow, I feel a little rebuked because I didn't have the humility and maybe the consideration that this is something the Lord was doing and I should just leave it in his hands. Not have to go set this guy straight. Not go yell back at this guy. No, not go and say, listen, you got it all wrong, and let me tell you about David and how he became king and why he should still be king. And let me tell you about Absalom. Absalom is not a judgment because of King David. And David didn't rip the throne from Saul. And so let me set you straight. They just said, wow. What a humility. Another way to aspire to become like their leader. In this instance, David is a bit of a foreshadowing, a foretelling of what Christ would be like. The insults, the criticism, the misrepresentation, the misunderstanding, the mistreatment of our Savior Jesus. Hey, I believe in standing our ground where we're supposed to stand our ground. I believe that there's a time to speak up. But I also believe that there's a time to be silent. And you and I probably speak too quickly, too often, rather than considering the blessing that might be brought to our life because of a cursing. That we could be humble enough to trust the Lord, leave it in his hands, and after all, he may notice what we have surrendered ourselves to be like him, and taken upon us insult and hardship and abuse for the sake of becoming like you, that he might notice, and in turn, somewhere down the road, pour out a blessing on us. And even if he doesn't, the blessing of the opportunity to be exposed of what's really in us is worth it. For it keeps us in right standing with the Lord. I'm all for a fight. But in this instance, the fight is against our flesh. And trust the Lord enough to work things out because it's Him we're supposed to please anyhow. And He knows the motive of our heart, where we are quickly to jump and try to explain why we do what we do and where people are wrong. And we're going to, and after all, if they're just going to persecute me, it's just because I'm a Christian. But maybe the way we handled it as a Christian was in our flesh, and we felt like it was our right and our privilege. Here is the King of God's people who didn't exercise His right, because He said, hey, maybe behind this, the Lord could be doing something. And if not, He will notice, and He keeps the ledger, He keeps the books, and He always takes care of His people. Maybe I need to just keep my integrity and do what's right, regardless of embarrassment, discomfort. People might think, well, gee, if I don't correct them, maybe they're going to think this is true. And I can't have people thinking that. I'm just suggesting to you that when cursing comes our way, maybe there is room for pause and for us to consider the way of the Lord. Maybe what the purpose of a curse or difficulty or an insult is, rather than taking it personal and biting back, we need to allow it to do its work so that it would create in us a humility, the kind of humbleness that God extends His grace to, right? He gives grace to the humble but resists the proud. That we might be buffeted by insult, difficulty, hardship, misunderstanding, abuse, etc. Because God has in mind a greater work to keep our integrity of our walk in line with Him and who we are supposed to become. Aspire to our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me, please, all over this room? So when you read the scripture, or you see the phrase, or you hear the phrase, or you repeat it, bless those who curse you, may bring to us pause and a new consideration to look at it as Paul did and see the benefit of the curse and the buffeting, to consider maybe like David did and said, Lord, I serve You. I don't want to fight against You. And if this is an attack, You can deal with it. I am not going to lift my hand, because if there's a chance that You're behind it, I want You to know that there's humility in me to walk with You and not lose my place or my standing, or to delay the progression of the blessing of who You are in my life.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.